The Queen's Men. True stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Names have been changed for family protection. And now, transcribe The Queen's Men.
Well, Constable, now that you've graduated into the force, I hope you've been assigned to an interesting first case.
Thanks, Sergeant. So far, it's only been a case of files to study.
Yeah, well, cheer up, man. With some persistence, you might come across something no one's noticed so far.
Persistence? I've been getting that since I started.
Oh, but that's just it. Persistence and thoroughness are some of the qualities that have been instilled into this force. Perhaps more than any other police force in the world. Have you ever heard of Sergeant Peterson?
Peterson? No, I don't think I have.
His is a story of persistence, thoroughness, and individual tenacity.
Yeah?
Yes, the case started several years ago in northern Alberta, when one of the boys, Constable Malone it was, turned up at detachment headquarters in Edmonton with an interesting-looking clue.
Up there, Malone.
It's a cap, sir. Have a look at it, will you?
So those look like blood stains to you, see?
Sure do. And this gash on top. Looks as though whoever was unfortunate enough to be wearing this cap may have met up with violence.
That's what I thought.
Where did it come from?
Constable Howell turned it in and asked me what I thought. He found it on a snow-covered trail about 50 miles north of here, near the town of Andover. He was up there doing some investigation on that Indian case and tripped over this.
Any connection with the case he's on?
No, I don't think so, sir. That's just a straight case of fur thieving. There's been no hint of violence at all.
I see. Better have those stains analyzed.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead with that and then report to me.
Well, there are blood stains, all right, Inspector.
How about any other clues?
No sign of them. Pretty cold up there. I asked Howell if there were any blood stains in the snow or any other indication of a scuffle. And he said there weren't, although he'd searched the area thoroughly.
Yes. The crime could have taken place anywhere in a 1,000-mile area or more. Devilish big country up here. We certainly need more than a cap to go on.
I thought maybe I should do some investigating in and around the town of Andover. See if anyone's missing or has recently been injured.
Yes, good idea. There's not much activity right here now. I think I can spare two or three men for you so you can spread around.
Well, that'll be fine, sir. I'd like to get started today, if that's all right.
Malone and Howell continued their inquiries, but after weeks of work, they still had no clue whatever as to the identity of the owner of the cap. Other cases demanded attention, and the cap was placed in a police locker at detachment headquarters in Edmonton, along with other evidence from unsolved crimes. The cap was not forgotten, and inquiries were made regularly from time to time, but 2 years went by, during which time the trail became thoroughly cold. It was an early summer, 2 years after the discovery of the cap, that Sergeant Peterson was stationed at Edmonton and was, of course, shown round, as it happened, by Constable Malone.
And here's the pending locker, Sergeant.
Oh, yes.
Odds and ends of evidence from unsolved cases. Rather sad reminder of the failures we've had from time to time.
Well, it's good to hang on to them, though.
Yeah, I suppose so. Although they become little more than relics after a while. This, for instance.
That cap?
Yes, picked it up in the bush 2 years ago. We carried on an intensive investigation, but never found a further hint.
Well, perhaps the victim was buried.
Not at that time of year. I wouldn't think so. The ground was frozen solid. Myself, I think he was wafted away in a cloud. At any rate, I doubt we'll ever know. Trail cools off in 2 years. And I think that just about takes care of the tourist, Sergeant.
Well, thanks a lot, Constable. I think I'm going to like it here. I always wanted to come west.
Sergeant Peterson!
Yes?
Inspector wants to see you in his office. Toot sweet.
Right, I'm on my way.
You think think you've got your bearings, Peterson?
I think so, sir. Constable Malone showed me around.
That's good. I was telling you this morning about this horse-thieving case we've been on for several weeks.
Yes, sir.
Well, a reporter just come in. A settler noticed three suspicious-looking characters at a ranch house just outside the settlement of Thana. It's quite possible they could be the thieves we're looking for.
Uh-huh.
I want you to go up to Thala and investigate it.
Certainly, sir.
Have a word with the settler. I have a hunch he may have a good lead for us. You know where Thala is.
Oh, yes, sir.
Good. If you leave immediately and ride hard, you can get there well before dark. I can get you what information we have before you go. Just one thing.
Yes, sir?
Be very cautious. If they're the men we're looking for, they'll be dangerous.
The inspector's hunch was right. Sergeant Peterson checked with the settler who left no doubt in his mind that the men at the ranch house were the three cattle thieves. Peterson then made a bold decision. He decided to go after them alone. Assuring himself that the ranch house was the right one, Peterson tied his horse some distance away and approached the house quietly on foot. Keeping to some shrubbery to avoid being seen, he carefully edged up to the windows. He'd hoped to catch the three men off guard, but he only spotted one. It appeared the fellow was alone in the house. Finally, Sergeant Peterson made a bold entry and took his quarry completely by surprise.
All right, mister, get your hands up.
Huh? Who are you?
I said put your hands up.
Okay. Don't get jittery with that carbine.
That's better. I'm Sergeant Peterson, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You and your friends are under arrest for cattle thieving.
My friends? some friends they turned out to be. Now I see why they skipped.
Now, how are you so sure they've skipped?
Their horses are gone. And all this stuff. We were up late last night playing cards, so they suggested we all have a little sleep this afternoon. I slept for 4 hours. When I woke up, they pulled out.
And why would they do that?
Because I won all their money last night. Plenty of it, too. They cleaned me out before they left. Look at my pockets. At noon, they were bulging. They didn't even leave me a buck.
All right. Out to the hall. I'm going to search the house anyway.
Well, Marty, you satisfied?
Yes, the place is empty, all right. You say you're Will Murdoch.
Yeah.
We've got all the dope on the three of you, you know. You may as well give me your right name.
That's my name, Copper. Just call me Will. Now, where do we go from here?
Back to Edmonton. Is that your horse out there?
Yeah. Can't get over those guys. The more I think about it, the madder I get.
We'll ride back, you in the lead. You'll be more comfortable without the handcuffs. So I'll make a deal with you. You ride along nice and quietly and don't try anything funny, and I'll remove the handcuffs. If you try anything, I'll give you my word, I'll shoot.
That's fair enough. You know, you seem like a decent kind of guy, even if you are a cop. I could give you a real good lead.
You could?
I know how to get even with those guys. I've got some information on them that'd make your eyes pop.
Well, out with it, then.
Well, I'll have to show you, instead of just telling you. Do you mind taking a short detour on our way back?
How much of a detour?
Oh, 20 miles or so, that's all.
Over this way, Sergeant.
What's this place?
Deserted ranch. Nobody's been here for years. Here's where we're headed for. This mound of earth, over here.
Now, what about it?
Okay, you can pull up, Sergeant.
Right here is where we're going to dig.
Dig? What for, Murdoch?
Now, you'll see. Now, if you want to leave the handcuffs off me, I'll pitch in and help. On the other hand, Sergeant, maybe you shouldn't take any chances. I might hit you over the head with a shovel.
Yeah, you might. You're forcing me to make a lot of dangerous decisions, Murdoch. You're really putting me on the spot.
Well, you put me on the spot earlier.
All right. I'll go along a while longer. You can help dig.
There you are, Sergeant. Thought I was just spoofing, eh?
A key. What's this key fit?
The door of that ranch house over there.
I still suspect you're up to something, Murdoch. But come on. Let's see what it is you have to show me. Yeah, it fits all right.
You haven't seen nothing yet. Come on inside.
Just a minute. Where till I shine my light in there?
No one inside. No one's been here for years.
I'm just making sure. Okay, in we go.
Better keep your flashlight on. Over here, over. To the stove.
Well, I must say, you've got me mighty interested.
Mm. My so-called pals would be interested, too, if they knew what I was up to. They're the boys that pull this job. And I can give you all the details, too.
What job?
This. Here we are. Have a look, Sergeant.
Good heavens. These look like human bones.
You bet they are. Here, look. They're all in here.
Who was this man?
I don't know, Sergeant. Wish I did. But I do know my pals killed him. I overheard a conversation there between them, giving the exact location of this place.
Uh-huh.
Congratulating themselves, they were. Didn't know I heard them. It was about 2 years ago they did the job. And from what they said, there's more stuff in a storeroom right off this room, too.
All right, then let's find it.
Well, it's only a small sort of tunnel room. Not enough space for both of us. Here, I'll hold the light while you go in. And that was where Sergeant Peterson made his mistake. Over-enthusiastic with the discovery of the murder, he went ahead first into the other small room, leaving Murdoch outside holding the light. Peterson began to rummage through the room's contents when simultaneously the light went out.
Hey!
The door banged behind him, and he heard a heavy bar fall into place. He threw himself against the door and struggled with it, but to no avail. A few minutes later, he heard a horse galloping away. He had lost his prisoner after having allowed himself to become trapped. When he finally broke out several hours later, he knew that a trying ordeal was ahead of him. He must face his superiors at Edmonton, and he knew, as a mounted policeman, that there was little mercy for one who failed under such circumstances.
In just a moment, we'll return for the second part of this true story of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Queen's Men. And now we return you to the Queen's Men.
When Will Murdoch escaped, he took not only his own horse, but led away Sergeant Peterson's as well. It took Peterson several days, walking and hitchhiking, to get back to Edmonton. And he was a bedraggled and shamed Mountie who appeared to take his medicine for the way he had muffed his case. It was a tough ordeal facing him, as he had expected. And after the orderly room proceedings, he fully expected a dishonorable discharge.
Cheer up, Sergeant.
Oh, that's easy to say.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not blaming anyone. It's entirely my own fault.
You thought you were doing the right thing.
As the OC said, that's no excuse whatever. Most people who make mistakes think that they... Oh, I'm alone. The RCMP's supposed to know better. I must have been out of my head. It isn't as though I wasn't anticipating a trap. I suspected the fellow from the first. But still, he was angry enough at his companions to be capable of exposing a crime. And that he certainly did.
Yes, you did uncover that evidence.
Not much in the way of evidence, I'm afraid. Evidence that there was a murder, yes, but how do we prove it? Oh, how long is the OC going to take in there?
Well, he's only been an hour. Probably assessing all the facts, just to be sure.
Yeah, to be sure it's going to be a dishonorable discharge for me.
Oh, I wouldn't be so positive. It wouldn't have taken him that long to... Uh-oh.
Peterson?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Sergeant. I've just got some things to take care of.
Well, here goes.
Peterson, I've given this case careful consideration and feel there were extenuating circumstances. So you're not to be discharged. You will remain on the force with reduced rank, that of corporal.
I'm very grateful, sir.
You took what was coming to you, and you took it well. Your past record proves you to be a good man. I have every reason to believe that you will serve the force with distinction. Anything you wish to say?
I wonder if I might make a request, sir.
What is it?
I'd be very grateful for another chance at this case that I've muffed so badly.
You knew that Constable Howell had brought in the other two cattle thieves?
Yes, sir. It's the murder I'd like to pursue. We'll need the evidence on those men, and I'd like a chance to get it.
No reason why you shouldn't have a chance. It's a 2-year-old case, you realize that. The trail's very cold.
Yes, I realize that, sir.
I'll give you 2 weeks. I don't expect you to solve it fully, but I will expect you to get something positive within the fortnight.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll do my very best.
Have you any plan of action?
Yes, sir, I think so. From the date Murdoch said that murder was committed, it just could tie in with the finding of that blood-stained cap with the gash on top.
A cap? Oh, yes. How did you know about that?
Well, I saw it in the locker, sir. It's just a guess, of course, but as it was found near Andover, I thought I'd start my inquiry there.
Go ahead, then. It would be a credit to you if you could throw some light on that case.
That's a funny thing, officer. There was a couple of Mounties around here 2 years ago asking questions about some fella.
Yes, same case.
Hey, you fellas spend quite a long time on one case, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes. Now, those were Constable Malone and Howell who questioned you last time. I believe that they spoke to nearly everyone in the district.
Well,
I know it's a long shot to hope that I can uncover anything 2 years later, but I have a description of 3 men now, which they didn't know 2 years ago.
Hey, that's a funny thing, officer. I'd forgot all about it, but somehow it stuck in my mind. A couple of months after those Mounties were around here, a couple of my friends happened to be having a conversation about a fella they thought was acting kind of funny.
What was he doing?
Oh, I just can't rightly remember.
Can you remember which of your friends it was?
Oh, well, sure. It was Charlie Antonio over on the next concession. Him and his hired man.
Did this Antonio ever report this information to the police?
Oh, heck no. It wasn't information of anything like that. It was just talk. Nobody thought much about it. But I just happened to remember, you know, seeing you asking about suspicious characters.
Yeah, well, whatever it was, I think I'll go over and see your friend Antonio. Can you give me directions to his place?
Yeah, just thinking about it, it all comes back to me now, officer. Now, you described those 3 men. You say one of them is real short, bow legs.
Yes. But that isn't the one who...
This fellow I'm referring to, you know, he looked like that.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Never saw such bow legs in my born days. Short he was, too.
Dark? Mass of dark hair?
Yeah. Yeah, he did have.
Oh, that's odd. That would be Will Murdoch. It was the other two that I really... Well, look. Tell me about this fellow.
Yeah, sure. Well, he stopped at the local hotel, you see, and he had a funny kind of way of looking around all the time. You know, like somebody was always behind him?
Uh-huh.
That's what made me, Jake and me, notice him.
I see.
He went off one day in a sleigh with another fella, and when he come back, he was all alone.
Yeah, go on.
Now, except he had something big and lumpy beside him, covered up with a tarpaulin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake said, wouldn't it be a good one if that guy murdered the other fella and that's him under the canvas? And then everybody kind of laughed. Well, I never thought much about it more.
Well, then what happened?
Well, he sold the horse and sleigh the next day and then pulled out. We never saw him before nor since.
Do they require a signature at the hotel with registration?
Signature? No, not in this neck of the woods. All they care about around these parts is getting your money.
I can't check that way, then. Wait a minute. You don't happen to know who he sold the horse and sleigh to?
Well, there'd only be one person around here he'd sell a thing like that to. That'd be Ned Kendall, the blacksmith.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Let's see now. Let me think back. A long time ago, that was.
Yes, I know.
So you're a Mountie, eh?
Yes, I'm a Mountie. Can you remember?
Tell you what I remember. I remember seeing that musical ride of yours once in Edmonton. You know, the way you dashed the horses up to the...
Yes, I know.
Were you in that?
No, I don't think so. Not in Edmonton. Now, look, now, about this man who sold you the horse and sleigh.
Oh, yeah, him. I sold him real cheap.
Well, then you remember him.
Oh, I remember him, sure. Didn't care what he got for him, either. Just said he was in a hurry. Wanted cash, though.
Was his name Murdoch? Will Murdoch?
Well, I never did get his name. I had a couple of chats with that pal of his, though.
Real nice guy.
His friend? You met him?
Oh, sure. Had the same last name as I did. Kendall. That's how I remember. Never heard the bow-legged guy's name, though.
Hey, look, Kendall. Wait a minute. You know his first name?
Oh, it wasn't the same as mine. Mine's Ned.
Well, what was his?
Herman.
Hmm. Had you known him long? Did he live around here?
Oh, heck no. He lived all the way down in Indiana. Parsons, Indiana. Funny how things come back to you when you get talking. I remember because I asked him if he ever thought of being a parson. Thought he might. You know, on account of living in a place.
Yeah, look, you're sure of all that, are you? Herman Kendall from Parsons, Indiana.
Yeah, and that's a funny one. Because you'd come straight out and said, what was that fella's name and where did he live? I couldn't for the life of me.
Can you give me a description of this Herman Kendall?
Sure, if I work up to it gradual-like. So you weren't in that musical riot, eh?
No, I'm afraid not.
Gee, I'd like to see it again sometime. You wonder how they can put on the brakes like that.
Peterson, you're doing an amazing job.
Well, this is an amazing case, sir. It's beginning to fit in, although there are a few missing pieces yet.
So you think Murdoch is the murderer and not his friends at all?
It certainly looks that way, sir.
Malone and Howell are working at tracking him down. But so far they haven't found any leads. Perhaps I should put you on that end of it.
I was going to ask permission to make a short trip to Parsons, Indiana.
Yes, it certainly should be investigated.
If the victim was Herman Kendall, we'll never prove it from that cap and the remains. But if he did vanish from Parsons 2 years ago, there should be some information to be had down there.
You're right. Well, you've still got a week and a half left, Corporal. I gave you 2 weeks. So there's no reason why you shouldn't proceed to Indiana.
I heard wonderful things about you Canadian Mounties. You're famous. Yep, real famous. Even way down here in Indiana.
Well, everyone's being very helpful, Sheriff. I'd like to ask you about a local farmer, Herman Kendall.
Oh, Herman. Sure. Oh, lives a couple miles up the road.
Yes, I found that out. Tell me, has he any close friends?
Oh, nobody's a close friend of Herman's anymore.
No?
Funniest thing I ever saw. Yep. What happened to Herman?
Oh. Well, what did happen to Herman?
Well, he lived around here 5 or 6 years. Oh, real nice friend, I call he was. Friends of everybody. He was, yep. Always visiting around, having people in on and so on, talking to them and all that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, one day, he turns into a hermit.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a real hermit. Nobody's had a word with him in 2 years now. Ever since he got back from that there trip to Canada.
Well, your story's the same as everyone else's.
Oh, you been talking to other folks around here?
Yeah. Oh, I hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. That was all in line of business, yes. Well, it's all the same thing. He hasn't spoken a word to anybody 2 years.
That's
so. He looked different when he got back. Had same old black beard and all, but he just looked different. Yep. Yeah. He lives out on that there farm of his. Oh, real prosperous farm it is, too. Well stocked. Oh, he's got two guys running the farm for him. He don't do nothing but just sit back and rake in the profits.
Sheriff.
Yeah.
Would you come out with me and have a word with him?
Well, he'll have none with you or me. I'll tell you that. Wasting your time. But let's go.
Yeah? What do you want?
Sorry to be so persistent, Mr. Kendall. We tried the front door and the side
door. I know. Who are you?
I'm from Canada. I'm with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You know the sheriff, of course. I wonder if you'd just spare us a few minutes.
No.
Well, now, I'll have to insist, Herman. It's essential we have a word with you.
What makes you think my name is Kendall?
Well, because there's something about you that seems familiar. No, you don't.
Hey, get your foot out of my door. You got no right breaking in here.
Now, I'm warning you, Herman. Grab him there.
Leave me alone. Get out of here, Peterson.
Peterson? How'd you know my name is Peterson?
Why,
grab him, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Bring him outside in the daylight here. Let's have a good look at him.
Let me alone. What are you trying to do to me?
I know him, Sheriff. I'd recognize those bow legs anywhere. He's Will Murdoch.
And so Murdoch was placed under arrest by the local sheriff and later given into the custody of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yeah?
The whole story was obvious. Murdoch had murdered Jack Kendall after noticing the similarity of build and appearance, and of course, after hearing about Kendall's prosperous farm. Then he grew himself a beard and headed for Indiana, where he simply took up residence on Kendall's farm and proceeded to live off the fat of the land.
Boy, what a fantastic scheme. And that was why he couldn't let any of the neighbors see him at close range.
But of course. He'd have been detected, sure.
Yeah, but what about the other two men?
Oh, they were the two who'd been running the farm for Murdoch. Of course, they were in on the impersonation, and they eventually planned their little cattle-thieving excursions to Canada.
Decided to run out on Murdoch and all the profits and felt secure that he wouldn't dare report him to the police.
Yes, then when he was arrested by Sergeant Peterson...
What? You mean Corporal Peterson?
No. He got his sergeant's stripes back in short order, with the officer commanding's commendation for persistence and tenacity of purpose. Queen's Men, authentic stories of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Music under the direction of Sidney Torch. Script and adaptation under the supervision of John Adaskin. Produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.